Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we get to talk about how to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not necessarily what to teach, but how to teach. And Julie, did you know that there are just so many different ways to teach?
I did know that.
You did. That was a very binary question. See, that didn't take you very far, did it?
Didn't take me very far at all. And I'm so sorry because I was finishing chewing. Then I answered that question. I'm a terrible podcaster.
Had you not said anything, we would never have known. But
oh, really? Because I felt like it was so obvious by my slow answer. I'm sorry. I shouldn't confess things like that then.
No, you can.
I'm gonna hide it next time.
This is real life. We do this real life wise.
We don't do fake life. In fact, my dog is like barking right now in the background, which is also real life.
Your dog is real lifing it right now. Mm-hmm. Hello, Pingo. That's right. All right.
Sorry.
So there are many. Rattle off a few different ways that we teach the restored gospel, and in what different capacities, okay. Maybe.
Oh, different capacities.
Different ways and different capacities, yeah.
Okay, so as an actual called teacher in Sunday school, primary, Relief Society, Elders Quorum, we also teach in councils. Like sometimes you'll have a person who's leading a council, and I think that sometimes there's instruction. Sometimes you'll teach when you are asked to, in like a ward council or a presidency meeting, give a spiritual thought. Institute, seminary, those are all teaching callings. To be totally honest with you, the biggest one is missionary work. I think every mm-hmm. single one of us is in some way or another teaching within the walls of our home or when we're talking to our friends about any aspect of the gospel.
Good.
Is that a good rattle?
That's a great rattle. I love it. Well done. So there's not just, it's not like teaching is, this is how you teach. Because there are so many different ways that we are teaching. Just take the difference between a Sunday school class and parenting and missionary work. Right. Those three, I don't want to say they're not even close to each other, but maybe the methods or how you teach obviously the audience. And I mean, it's so very, very, how many people compared to maybe how few, maybe one compared to a larger group, or there are a lot of different ways.
Don't you feel like sometimes you have dialed one type of teaching in and you're, I'm experienced. I do really great at teaching adults. And then you get called to teach the youth and you're like,
yes.
I mean, so intimidated. Or primary. Headlights. Primary intimidates me more than any of those teaching ages. It really does. I'm not good at teaching primary. I'm bad at it. Great. Now I'm going to get called to teach primary. Shoot. I shouldn't say it out loud.
Great. Shh. Quiet. You'll never know.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to talk about one way to teach that we haven't talked about at all yet. And that is by giving a talk in sacrament meeting.
We did talk about preparing a talk one time, like some of the things that go into preparing a talk, but we have not talked about how to teach over the pulpit.
Right. There have been good examples and there are some bad examples. And I think we have seen them all. Let me give you a bad example.
I think I know where this came from.
Do you?
Sorry.
Pretend you don't.
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
So years ago, I was sitting in sacrament meeting and I was listening to this person talk, giving a sacrament talk. And at one point, he was talking about Joseph Smith. And at one point, he slipped and he said, Joseph Smith. And I was like,
whoa.
Members of the church, we know we don't call him Joe Smith. That is not what we do. I mean, that's just more cultural and respectful, right? No one calls him Joe Smith. So he's reading something that says Joe Smith, which means that what he's reading, he probably didn't write. This is pretty comprehensive. And so what I did is I pulled out my phone, I went to Wikipedia, and I read the talk along with him because he was reading Wikipedia Joseph Smith for his talk.
What? Wait, how did you figure that? I mean, how did you even figure that out?
I don't know. I just did. And I went
you
right there.
You just did it and you just Googled it and he was...
And he, I read it along with... I could have given the talk with him. And I showed Kelly and I was like, seriously, this is happening right now. And I was dumbfounded. At the last minute, let's get up. And I didn't prepare anything, so I'm going to read Wikipedia. What is the modern version of that, Julie?
ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yeah, ChatGPT, right? Inspiring talk that about Joseph Smith.
About this topic.
The
right. And the tone is this. Yep. And the, right. Yeah.
It's harder. It would be harder to pick out and recognize that that's what's happening. But that is an easy way. An easy, inspireless way to do it. Even if you may say inspiring words, it's not inspired. Your talk is inspired. Anyways, that's enough. Then like the there's another time I'll tell you this about how powerful talks can be. And this was for me. This is on a me level that I felt. I had to give the talk. I was on the High Council years ago and I went to a ward to give a talk and met with a bishopric beforehand. And they said, so Brother Jones, our youth speaker isn't speaking. I'm like, okay. And he goes, and neither is the other talk. So you've got all of sacrament.
Oh my gosh.
45 minutes, basically. No pressure. Right? And this was before, this was during 3 hours. So you would go to like five after the hour, right?
Yeah.
And thankfully, as I was preparing the talk, I had all the stuff. And I said, Heavenly Father, this is like 45 minutes worth of stuff. Bring this down. And it was like, nope, don't. I thought, okay, well, you want me to do this on the fly? Yep. Do it on the fly. Okay. And I had 45 minutes of a talk and
prepared.
And I had someone come up to me afterwards and say that that was amazing. Because I thought it was just like 15, 20 minutes. It just flowed and it came out. Right now.
Wow.
That was a miracle I don't expect that to ever happen again. That wasn't me. That was seriously the Spirit that guided that whole thing. And that was just a sacrament meeting miracle. That was way cool. Yes. I loved a Christmas miracle, a sacrament meeting miracle kind of thing. Yes. The angels were there and they shone down upon me because I couldn't have done it myself. So they had to lift up my arms and do it for me. Anyways, there are so many different types of sacrament meeting talks. And I don't want to even say that there are good ones and there are bad ones. I don't like to qualify them in that way. I don't know how I would qualify them, but there are some things that will lead to more spirit-filled, more inspiring talks than others.
Like some principles maybe that could guide preparing a talk? Are you talking about that? Or are you talking about delivering?
All of it.
Or?
Preparing and giving a talk.
Yeah.
So let's brainstorm together, shall we? Come on a journey with me, Julie, and let's brainstorm together. And let's talk about preparing a talk. Let's talk about some do's and some don'ts. What are some things? Let's start with don'ts. What are some of the things that you would say, yeah, I probably wouldn't touch that if I'm preparing a sacrament meeting talk?
Probably wouldn't touch that?
I probably wouldn't do that. Give you one. Okay. Like, for example, I probably just wouldn't put an excellent prompt into ChatGPT, let it write it for me, and then, read that off. Okay.
Yes.
So that's one thing I probably wouldn't do. What else probably wouldn't you do?
I probably would not have a bunch of quotes that I would read directly, because I feel like you lose people when you read quotes, like long quotes.
Good.
So I probably would not do that. Is that, I mean, yes. Is that getting too nitty gritty or is that okay?
Nope, that's great.
Okay.
Okay, in fact, let's do this. I'm going to go next, then you go next, and we'll just see how far we can get.
Okay, let's do it.
When you say quotes, I'm going to expand that to probably don't just take like half of a conference talk and read straight out of a conference talk for half of it, for example. That's to not prepare that way.
Probably don't use sources that are not the scriptures or conference talks.
Good. Not even like screw tape letters.
You know what? I've used it. I've used C.S. Lewis. I've used Stephen Covey. I've used like John, by the way. I've used some of those things. I think what I'm suggesting is that you not frame your talk around it. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Sometimes those things can actually supplement or help to drive home a point. And I don't think there's anything wrong with making things real and making things not worldly, but feel like they fit in this world, even if they're spiritual. So I'm not opposed to that, but I would not use that to build the doctrinal message of my talk. I would make sure that whatever I'm talking about is backed up by scripture or has been said by prophets and apostles.
Great.
And that, can I just expand? Actually, I would not take on a topic that they have not already talked about. For example, don't take on a topic like Heavenly Mother over the pulpit.
Right. Yeah, that is a great point, which we have all seen, right? Either a topic of Heavenly Mother or a topic of or politics or whatever it might be, right? We've seen that happen before. It's not our best. So, okay, good. I would not do that as well. I would not, as I prepare, this is me. And so I'm not saying everyone should do this. However, I feel it is, I'm kind of hedging a bit here. I have seen prophets say this as well, though. It is typically better if we can not read it word for word.
I was just going to say, I stole it from you.
I stole
it. You did. That was going to be my next one. I would not write the whole thing out.
Right.
I mean, some people need to write it out. And then you cannot read it word for word. In fact, I have this friend who's one of the best public speakers that I know, like in a professional setting. And when he gives a church talk, he writes the entire thing out, but he never reads it.
Oh, there you go.
Like he just, but it's completely, so he could send me his talk. And so I shouldn't say that, but for me, Julie Hilliard, I can't have everything written out in front of me. Or I would feel inclined to read it or I'd get lost in it.
Yeah.
So
me too.
However it is, your point is don't just read something.
Yeah. In the end, don't prepare it. So you're just reading it. Right. I remember Elder Bednar at one of the leadership meetings, he talked about when he went to Africa and how these faithful saints got up and they didn't have any notes in front of them. And they just bore their testimony and talked about real things and gave a talk that was just fabulous. And then he comes to the States and the state, has the culture a lot, but it doesn't, I would almost say 50-50. I think now that I think back at sacrament meeting talks, is that maybe there's a 50-50 of I'm writing it out and I'm going to read it word for word verbatim. Compared to I have notes, compared to I don't have anything getting up in front of me and I'm able to speak about it. And I've seen all of those. And sometimes, but at the same time, sometimes just getting up and not having notes, that doesn't go well either. So I don't know. I think everyone's at a different spot of where and someone may be completely nervous. And
petrified.
They have to read it. I remember on my mission, there was one guy, missionaries love this family. You know, they did a lot of stuff for the family. This brother was incredible. But when he got up, he had this nervous twitch. He was so nervous. I mean, his head was jerking all around like this, and his body was the entire time he gave a talk, he was that nervous. I get it.
That's hard.
Yeah. Read it then. Great. Right.
Yeah. Right. So I was actually going to say that. I was going to say, you don't want anybody who has this fear, like a phobia, even of public speaking, to not do it because right. they can't read it. Like, do right. it.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah. There's yeah. got to be that caveat in there.
100%. Yeah. So, okay. I stole it from you, but I said it. Now it's your turn.
No. Okay. I have a good one. Even if you did not have adequate time to prepare, don't say, I didn't have much time. I just barely threw this together last night. No, just don't.
Right.
Don't admit it. Don't confess it. Don't throw somebody in the bishopric under the bus for just calling you. Like, just let it be. Because the minute you say that, it feels like people are like, oh, great. Like, what am I supposed to do with that kind of a thing? It's just, no, don't say it at all.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Or I didn't really want to give a talk and da 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 da, you know, but I mean, like, I love it when people say something like, I really struggle with this. That's great. But to be like, I didn't really prepare, or don't confess it. Right. Just don't say it, please. I don't want to know that you didn't have a lot of time to prepare. Right.
I'm just doing this off the cuff and I didn't take this seriously. No. Or someone didn't, and you know what? Whatever. Yeah, I agree.
Because it makes it sound like you either didn't care or you're throwing somebody under the bus.
Yep.
So maybe that's just a personal pet peeve. I don't know if that's really fair for me to say, but I'm saying things that are my opinion, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you though. I that makes the talk about you and gives you an excuse why you may not do well. That's,
yeah, and I just
we're focusing on the savior here.
Yeah, it's not about you,
right?
Right. You know.
Okay, so then let's go to the do's. What?
Okay.
What are some suggestions? Not that you know everyone has to do these, but what are some suggestions of writing a great sacrament meeting talk, preparing one? Yes.
Do you want to go first?
You go first.
I did that last one.
You look excited okay. to do.
I do. I love sacrament meeting talks. Let me tell you my perception of them first. My gosh, my dog is a spaz. She's crated because she just had ACL surgery and she's supposed to be sedated right now.
That does not sound sedated.
She's ridiculous. Okay. So one of the things that I feel, this is my perception. I feel like it's a sacred responsibility when you're asked to give a talk because you literally are teaching the entire congregation at the same time. Right. And so I think that this is such a great opportunity to be able to like share thoughts and feelings. So my number one suggestion is be authentic. Be real in your talk. Nobody cares how much you know. Like they really don't. People want to feel, and when you're at the pulpit, you're like, how do you connect with people from the pulpit? You absolutely can. Share real feelings, share honest thoughts, share experiences that you've had, make it authentic.
I love that. Please, please make it authentic. It's amazing how sometimes when someone is authentic, how many times someone in the congregation says, wow, you're struggling with that too.
Yeah,
that's a real thing. I'm not the only one who has that thought. Wow.
Right.
You struggle with that? Okay, I'm not so weird anymore. Or I have this doubt, or I have this, I thought about this way as well, and it's different from what other people think as well.
Right.
Okay, great. Let's hear
right.
it.
Well, and that's the thing is that I think that people have a tendency to think that you almost have to like put on a show
right.
when you're giving a talk from the pulpit, that it has to look a certain way, that it has to sound a certain way, that it has to have a certain cadence that it, no, please,
yes.
no. So that is absolutely my number one thing of just keep it real. And I say that to my kids, like when my kids are trying to prepare a talk, you know, Liam, for example, I think I've said this before, his biggest thing is authenticity. He doesn't like cliche phrases and things like that. And so sure. it's really pushed me to try and do that same thing. And I didn't realize how much historically if I'm being super honest, I had a desire to impress people when mm-hmm. I would give a talk. And I really have learned through my kid the value of, like, nobody is impressed by that. What people really want to feel from you is connection. And so I've really thought about how important it is to prepare in a way that allows you to bring authenticity to that experience.
I want to give you an example of that. My dear Kelly and I, we moved into a ward when we were, just had a few kids. We moved into a ward and we were both asked to speak. And having been on a mission, she had been a member for a few years. I had been on a mission, so I was feeling pretty confident, right? Real confident.
Yeah.
And she got up and spoke, and I got up and spoke. And I was like, yeah, I did all right. I nailed that. And then, afterwards, people came up and they talked to Kelly only. I was like, Kelly, that was so good. Thank you. And I went, wow, I botched that so on just about every level that I can think of. Wow. Authenticity part, the focus part, it was more on, like you said, right? We have those times when, okay, it was about me. I wanted to give a good talk, to make a good impression.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been about any of that. And Kelly, right, just being a new member and humble, she did it right. And I learned so much from that.
That's such a good example. That is such a good one. Yeah.
Okay. Things you should do. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I was, 6+ months ago, I was released from the bishopric. Mm-hmm. But when I was in the bishopric, I was assigning talks. And this is what I did personally. No one else has to do this, but this is what I did. Is when I gave a topic, I said, I want you to focus on Jesus Christ and talk about anything you want.
Every time.
That was my assignment to them. I don't care what it is. Focus on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so that same thing comes back. Whatever topic you're given, if you're given a conference talk, if you're given tithing, if you're given, you know, a principle, a doctrine, or anything, always focus on Jesus Christ. Because that's the whole purpose of us being in that meeting, is to grow closer to Jesus Christ. It's not to learn content. It's not to learn a story. It's not to be motivated. It is to grow closer to Jesus Christ. And so I think if we miss that, we can go through a whole, and we've been through these, go through a whole sacrament meeting and not even hear the words Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So there's mine. Okay.
So keeping it focused on the Savior, I think that's really good. Okay. I want to push this a little bit harder, because there's something that's in my mind. Because, like, as we talk about some of these do's, specifically keeping it focused on Christ, I think that sometimes it can still be really boring. Like the way that people give talks. And I think that one of the struggles that we have is you have people with ADD, you have children in a congregation that are going to get restless. And so as the person preparing, that's part of why you feel this pressure, right? Is because of the fact that you don't want to bore people. And you also know that there are going to be a lot of disruptions and a lot of hard things. And so I think that my next piece of advice would actually be to prepare enough. I know that that sounds weird. Prepare enough. And let me tell you why I say that. I think that sometimes what is hard is that you get up there. And once you're nervous, if you feel like you have to fill a certain amount of time and you only prepared for that amount of time, and then you find yourself like wanting to slow down and wanting to adjust and wanting to, you just get a little bit kind of like so focused on your talk that you stop, like you're, I guess it's not prepare enough. Yeah, it is actually prepare enough, because I think then you become so focused on your talk, where if you have like yours, you had, you know, this 45 minutes prepared and you can allow the spirit to guide you and pare down, but you can't always expand when you're nervous. Like it's harder.
It is harder.
And so I feel like sometimes talks get a little kind of when the person is nervous about filling time. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm trying to say is you don't focus on not being boring, because that will feel yucky. That's not the point. Your point is not, it's not to entertain people. I'm not suggesting that. But if you underprepare, you don't have enough, you're worried about filling time, then what you end up doing is like stretching things and stumbling over your words.
Yeah,
and true. And so for me personally, like, I don't have a problem talking. It doesn't make me nervous, but I think about like my kids, for example, when they don't have very much experience with something like this and they prepare a shorter talk and then they get up there and they realize that they're going faster than they thought they would. And then they're like, you can see this moment when they're like, oh crud, I'm supposed to do a 5-minute talk and it's 2 minutes. And do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that makes sense. I don't think that that's a really good one, but
I think it's a good one, because I've been in the same spot, right? You create a talk, and how much do you prepare? And all of a sudden you're given, you know, you're the last speaker, and now you're given 20 minutes when you're told 15, or sometimes it's the opposite of that. Right.
Right.
And so how do you cut? But okay. So we've kind of done this all along as we've been saying these things. We're kind of bleeding also not only into the preparedness, but also when you give a talk. So one thing I will say as well, and that is, don't go over your time.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Don't go over.
Just please don't go. Watch over. It. Watch your time. Don't go over. No one likes it. No one likes it when people go over. And we've heard.
And no one knows if you got through everything. Like, no one knows what your talk is. And so it's not like you have to get through a certain amount.
Right.
Nobody knows what you were going to get through.
Right. Yep. And we have seen where people will, oh, okay, I know time is late and you're already 5 minutes over, but one more story. I know. And everyone goes collectively inside groans. It's like, oh, my kids are crazy restless. They're ready for primary. They need to get out of here. Whatever it might be, right? Just don't go over. Okay.
And even if you're the earlier speaker, don't go over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you got to give the other person like time.
Yep. I think my best talk actually that I've ever given that I was like, wow, that went really well, was when I was given 4 minutes at the end. The person before me went way past it. And as she kept going, I just started scratching out. I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. And it came down to the essence, and I gave it in 4 minutes to end on time. And that was it. And I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. Wow. I just essenced it down. Is that, that's not a thing. Essenced it down.
No, that's totally, I think it's a verb. You essenced it down.
I essenced. Yeah. Good. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, and that, so this is another thing, and not to get, this is going to sound a little bit cliche, but I genuinely am really prayerful about talks that I'm going to give. And so a do is to not just dive into preparation, but really be prayerful about it. And I love if I get a talk assignment, and this is my personality. My husband's personality does not work this way, so this would not work for him. But I start at the beginning of the week thinking about it, praying about it, reading, not putting things on paper quite yet, but like letting thoughts form and gel. And it's amazing how many times I'll start that process at the beginning of the week, and then something that happens during the week relates back to that. And then something else that I'm reading in the scriptures that week somehow ties back to that. And you just discover things if you start praying about it the minute you get, mm-hmm. not the minute, but you know what I mean,
yeah.
that assignment. So yeah. they can be on your mind and on your heart.
And you come up with stories in your own life of, oh, that's, you know, that's a good way to explain that. And yeah. that actually just happened to me today. And I can use that as yeah. an example. And yeah, that's good.
But you got to be in preparation mode in order for the spirit to instruct you
right.
in that way, I think.
Right. I agree.
Like looking for it.
Another thing I would do is typically, not always, but typically focus on one thing. Not really try good. To, you know, for example, let's say it's tithing, right? Not try to bring in everything about it and maybe do the whole thing, but focus on one thing of tithing and focus on that. I mean, really, there is enough that we can, you know, if we just talk about, again, take the example of tithing. If we were just to talk about how tithing helps us grow closer to our Father in heaven, and just did that, we could take 15 minutes easy, right? Mm-hmm. There's enough if we really prepared and thought about it, it's there. If we try to do too much and hit too many points and too many stories and too many, it becomes overwhelming. And it's hard. I've found that when this is in sacrament meetings, it's in regular teaching as well, when there are too many points and I'm trying to divvy up my time between all of them, none of them get done really well. And the spirit is like, okay, which one did you want me to hit? Which one did you want me to touch? Was it that first one or the eighth one? Right? So really try to focus it down to the essence. There's mine.
And I think that goes to expand on your point. I think that goes to another idea, which is that you need to know what you want your message to be. Mm-hmm. Like, be really clear about that. Like, that Todd will say to me sometimes, you know, I'll have this talk that I'm putting together and he's like, what is the main thing you want people to walk away with?
Good.
And if I, and sometimes I can't articulate that because I've kind of gone through and prepared this whole talk and it builds and da 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 da. And we have to be able to articulate, this is the number one thing I want people to walk away with. It's kind of that simplicity on the far side of complexity thing. Mm-hmm. You know, lead them to a point, make a point, singular.
And it's easy.
You've got to know what that is.
It's easy to do that though. You may start off, like you said, knowing what it is, and then you build this whole thing and it kind of gets away from us sometimes, right? And then that's the point at which it's time to give a talk without bringing it back to the essence again on the other side, right? And and if we don't give ourselves enough time, it's easy to take that one topic, build it into something complex, and then that's the point at which we give the talk rather than the essence side of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Any other thoughts about preparing, do's and don'ts, or giving? I wrote some down. So go ahead.
I think the other thing that I would include is the idea that when you are preparing, look at multiple resources. So, you know, I said a little bit earlier that you want to make sure you've got the scriptures and general conference talks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One of the things that really helps me is when I'm trying to research a specific topic, like let's say the conference talk is your topic. For example, you're given, you know, a conference talk. Don't just read the conference talk, follow the footnotes, go into your Bible dictionary and look up specific words, use the resources in the Gospel Library app. Often I'll also go into Bible Hub and look at different translations of the verses that are cross-referenced. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of that type of legwork can help add depth of meaning to what you're studying in that conference talk or about a specific topic. And so you can't read too much. You don't have to include all of it, but you can't expand your mind a little bit beyond what the assignment is.
Good.
So that you can better understand it.
Yeah. Because a lot of times you'll find that you're given a topic, but you kind of unlock by that extra study, you unlock an area that you never knew existed. And it just opens up your mind like, whoa, I didn't know that was a thing. Holy cow.
Exactly.
And you can give a talk on that, right?
Yep. Mm. Exactly. And sometimes you'll find that the main point that you want actually comes from that.
From that. Yeah, exactly.
You know, your main point isn't going to be fed to you by the topic, by the bishopric who's assigning you that topic. They are not going to feed you your main point. You're going to discover your main point as you start to do that digging.
Yes.
And they're not going to be mad if you go and you take this topic and you kind of focus here.
Right.
It's related to the topic. Like, nobody's upset about that. You're not siloed because of the topic.
Right.
Is that
true? Actually, there are two things that just popped in my mind. Okay.
Yeah.
From what you said. Okay. Number one, practice.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
As you prepare, practice out loud. Say, I've got 15 minutes and I'm going to give a 15 minute talk.
Yeah.
Right?
And then when you say the stuff out loud, it sometimes sounds different to you. And you're like, I don't even know how to express that right.
Right. Or that's not really what I meant to say. Right. Yeah. Either one of those it can be. But I've done that as well. Right. Okay. This is my bullet point. And then I go to give it. I go to actually say it. And that's wow. I don't know how to articulate that. Right. I need to work through that. Yeah. So the second thing that I was thinking of is I actually have been thinking about this particular subtopic for a few months now about just how interesting it is that our church has regular people giving sacrament meeting talks where typically it would be a professional pastor, right?
Right. It's so unique.
And anyone can give a talk. And we encourage that. And knowing that not every talk is going to be stellar.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Of course, we want to give the best talk possible. But there will be some. I remember calling people and asking them, will you give a talk? Knowing that they will seriously struggle with it. And that honestly, this will probably be the best for them and not for the congregation. And that's okay. They need that growth experience.
Yeah.
So yes, again, yes, we want to do the best we can and make sure we do it by the Spirit. But sometimes, it almost feels like, okay, that was a great experience for them. And we get to see, and it's okay to see someone grow in that and to kind of sit back in the congregation and go, wow, they really had to stretch. Like the guy who had the tick, right? He did not want to be up there. And actually the reason he was up there is because his son was going on a mission. And so he felt he had to, you know, had to be up there. And if he was called and asked to, and actually that was when the missionary family kind of dictated what the sacrament meeting was going to be like, right? But he felt he had to, as a father, do that. And it was really distracting. It was hard to understand, but he did it. And it was wonderful.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
All right. Let me look at this here real quickly. Okay. Another thing that I try to tell my kids, when you give a talk, realize that you are speaking to people.
Yeah.
You're not giving, we shouldn't be just giving content. We're actually talking to people. Look out at them and make eye contact with people as well. Speak to them as if you're having a discussion. Now, this is a different type of teaching because the only type of feedback you get are the people who are smiling or sleeping or laughing or whatever it may be, right? That's the only feedback. It's not like you're asking questions and they're responding with something.
Right. There's nothing else.
Right. It's you and it is your responsibility to provide the fill for that 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it might be. But as we do, one thing that I found is to not think that I'm giving content, but that I'm speaking to people. Elder Bednar was asked, do you get nervous when you give conference talks? And he said, no, because, and I'm going to paraphrase, and this was from 15 years ago when I heard him say this. So okay. I may be a little bit off on this. So Elder Bednar, please forgive me. But it was something along the lines of, I'm not giving a talk. I'm talking to people, trying to help them come closer to Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what I focus on. And when I do that, I'm not nervous because I'm speaking to you, right? So it was along those lines. And I thought that was beautiful of how, and it helped him not be nervous.
Yeah, and we can learn from that too. And it also teaches us something, because most of the time, I would say 99% of our lives that we're going to church, we're in the congregation, we're not giving a talk.
Right.
And if that's what we're hoping for, we're hoping that people will give a talk to people. Yes. Then we need to actively participate with our eyes and with our body language so that they can feel like, you know, kind of encouraged during their talk.
So that is a talent that Kelly has. And I
staying engaged.
During a sacrament mini talk, I can't tell you the number of times people have come up afterwards and said, thank you. I just kept looking at you because you were smiling at me. And so I just focused on you the whole entire time. And I wasn't nearly as nervous because of that. And she does that. Yeah. She has two major talents. That's the first one. And the second one is getting to church on time. Those two. She said that years ago. She was like, I don't have any talents. My only talent is getting to church on time.
So, you're like, that's a talent.
That is a talent. It is a talent. You have many more talents than that. But it was kind of funny.
We'll give you that one too.
That's right. That's one thing I love about that. Let me take a look at some of these other topic or other things. So I speak professionally. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone else to think that they have to be a professional speaker to speak. I don't want them to compare themselves to me, because they may do something that I am not good at. And I, you know, some maybe on a totally different area, and I would feel horrible that, wow, they do that so well and I don't. It's not a thing of comparing. So we should never compare ourselves or pretend that we're professional speakers. It's just, who, like you said, be authentic. Be who you are. Bring that to the table. However, I will caution one thing in that, Julie. I remember someone got up and she started talking about, she was being authentic and she was saying life how it is, and to the point where we had to turn to our children and start reading books to them and totally sidetrack them so they wouldn't listen to the speaker, because she was talking about, and then I tried to take my life, and then and things like that. And we're like, whoa, okay. We can't. Authenticity is good. But there's a line. I don't know what you call that, but,
TMI?
Way TMI. Serious TMI.
Well, so I think that you're making a really, really good point. One of the things that we also have to remember is that there's respectful and appropriate language to use over the pulpit as well. Like, this isn't as casual as sometimes. So when, you know, you talk about authenticity, sometimes we have to be cautious about what we're sharing, meaning you don't want to share things that aren't appropriate for all audiences. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that may be appropriate to share in a Relief Society lesson, but not necessarily appropriate to share in front of kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, certain aspects of that. But in the spirit of trying to be authentic, you can figure out how to, not hide it and not... what's the word? It's not that you shouldn't talk about things. You just have to talk about them in a way that is appropriate and respectful. You just have to be mindful of the audience. And I think that in that same vein, being too casual with our language is also yes. not great. You know, like using language over the pulpit that you might use in casual conversation with someone, you know, not, I'm not necessarily saying somebody's going to like curse over the pulpit or use right, swear right. words, but we use maybe a little bit crass comments, or not even crass, that's not the right word, just bordering on not as dignified.
Not as and I think dignified is the right word, Julie. Have you?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with how missionaries should be speaking with, quote, dignified language? Are you familiar with that?
Is it in Preach My Gospel?
I don't know. I haven't seen it in there. So maybe it's in the new version and I haven't seen that yet. I've seen a number of missions. I haven't seen all missions focus on this, but I have seen a few missions where they focus on dignified language. And mm-hmm. I mean, to the point of the mission president will say, all right, please don't use the term or the phrase "you guys." Mm. Right? There are more dignified right. ways of saying that. Not that "you guys" is bad, but there are more better. Mm-hmm. There are more better ways to say that than that. Right. And it's just uplifting our language. Cause when we do that, the spirit can be there. When we don't, when we use the slang, when we use the other things, then it distracts from the spirit. It becomes the main point rather than the spirit being the main point.
Right. And you know, it's interesting because I think that as a teenager, I was entertained when somebody would maybe, you know, use right. more relaxed language.
Yep.
And I think that this has come with time and with age that, and I think that that is the right word. You're right. That we just need to be like elevate our talk and be a little bit more dignified in how we present some of our ideas when we are sharing them over the pulpit. And I think, you know, it's hard for me because I'm not suggesting that we need to be people pleasers. That's not the right. motivation for it. I think the motivation for it needs to come from that we need to remember that we're doing everything to point to the Savior, and that type of language and slang and things like that aren't necessarily pointing people or bringing them closer to or helping them feel the spirit of our Savior. And so I think that's the motive behind it, not people pleasing, not trying to make you be somebody that you aren't. Mm-hmm. It's just elevating it for Him.
Yes. What are we focused on? We're focused on bringing in the Spirit. We're focused on the Savior.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a tool. Dignified language is a tool to help us accomplish those goals, I guess.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Okay. Let me look at the list, this list here. The personal stories is great. Mm-hmm. I love it. We talked about keeping it simple. I don't know. I think kind of as a wrap up and putting it all together, everyone's at a different stage, and I'm not going to judge one person over another. I saw a talk where the person got up and they had a nervous laugh, and it was, and they'd norm that, that is not who they are, but they were so nervous. They had this nervous laugh and it was jarring. It was like, what?
Yeah.
What was that? Right. But that is the best that person could do. And awesome. And I was so excited that this person was up there giving a talk. That was the most important thing at that time. And again, right. we should not pretend like we're professional speakers. We should not pretend like that. We're going to go up, hopefully, take the topic that we've been given, if we've been given a topic, and focus on bringing in the Spirit and focus on the Savior. If we can do that with using a number of the tools and other things that we said, then we've done it. And how many times, Julie, how many times do you walk away from a talk thinking, oh, I missed that, or I should have said that, or
100% of the times.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Even us, you and I, who talk all the time to groups and audiences and congregations, et cetera, we do that all the time. We always 100%. Walk away going, oh, I should have, or I wish I had, or I could have said this better, or I should have focused on this more. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
Yep. No, let's afterwards, you know, we've talked in other episodes about kind of a post evaluation of our teaching. And if we walk away with a post evaluation and say, okay, how did I do? Two things. Did I help facilitate the Spirit? And did I focus on Jesus Christ? Awesome.
Victory.
Yeah. Victory right there. That is what we're looking for. So, and I think that as people take some of these suggestions to whatever level they want to, I think, and more that we haven't brought out, the more prepared we are, the less nervous we are.
Totally.
You've seen that and you felt that as well?
100%. You know, it's interesting because one of the things that stuck out to me that you suggested is that you practice. And I can tell you 100% of the time, if I take the time to actually practice, I am so much more calm. And I can also tell you that 100% of the time, it doesn't end up looking the same as it did when I practiced it. Right. So I'm like, wait, hold on. Why didn't it look like I rehearsed or whatever? Right. It's just because you get more comfortable talking in a normal and natural way about the topic, if you actually take the time to go through and say it out loud and feel like a doofus for those 15 minutes that you're talking to the wall, it will just help you to feel so much more calm because you're not worried about the talk itself. You Right. are worried about feeling and listening to the Yes. Spirit, making eye contact and connecting with people, making sure that you're saying things in a more conversational, natural way. You just, it happens almost automatically. It's almost like this idea of muscle memory. Once you've done some of it once, you can naturally, without thinking about it, do it again and again.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's really, I mean, you think about the talks that you've given as a professional speaker a number of times, you can say some of these phrases in your sleep, but you have effective phrases that people connect with that, you know, make it go click for them. And that's part of what you're doing, is you're teaching yourself some of those phrases to help make the point you want to make. And you don't have to think about them as hard. They just are effective. And then you can focus on what's most important about giving that talk.
Right. I love that you brought that up because phones.
Because stupid. I have to have, my daughter has my watch, and so I have to have my ringer on all the time right now. Sorry.
That's all right. No worries. So in my business, I've hired another speaker recently, and she was practicing to me the content, and it was her first time. It was just trying to get the words, and it was very
right.
It was splotchy. It was difficult to listen to, and I knew she was going to be great. This was her first time, but
right,
it was tough, right?
Yeah,
she had practiced over the weekend, and then just yesterday I said, okay, let's do it again. And she stopped thinking as much about the content and was thinking about the effectiveness that she might have. And everything changed. And I was like, wow, there you go. Very good. And as we get more and more familiar with the content, there was another time when I was 13 years old. My calling when I was 12 was to play the piano in opening exercises for priesthood. And so somehow the stake decided it would be a great idea to have me play piano for a stake priesthood meeting. I thought that was the worst idea because I knew three songs.
Brilliant. Give it to the youth, Kevin. It's brilliant.
It was. At the time, I thought it was a horrible idea. I love that they did that now. But, right, I was terrified. I practiced, practiced. I was so nervous. I got up there, and afterwards my dad said, what were you doing up there? you were looking around. You weren't even paying attention to playing. And I looked back and I thought, you're right. I didn't. I just played because I had practiced so much that the playing, that the notes themselves weren't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with talks. When we practice, it's not the content anymore. We can focus on the things that really make a difference and the spirit and focusing on the people.
Yeah. And I mean, a suggestion is talk out loud in your car. I do that a lot when I'm preparing for something. Like I'll talk out loud in my car.
That's a great idea. I like that. Yeah. Just practice all the time.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, sacrament meeting talks. There we go. There are some ideas for sacrament meeting talks. If any of you listening or watching have ideas that have really worked well, please share. We'd love to get to know what other kind of things that we didn't talk about, because there are many more. We just scratched the surface. Right. But what else can we do to better prepare and better deliver effective, meaningful, spirit-filled sacrament talks? Please let us know. And we'd love to read some of those on air, but we're recorded. So
we're not that cool.
It doesn't quite work that way for us. So
technology's changed.
Yes. So if you would please share, subscribe, like all those things. Yes. But let others know and have your kids, because they're hopefully, you know, they can listen to this and say, oh, okay, here's one way to really prepare a good sacrament meeting talk, or, you know, some ideas at least. So share it with your family. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Bye.